ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do not adjust your TV set. I am a woman in a beaver hat.
No beavers were harmed in the beginning.
No. Hello, it's Pants Free Friday on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Six minutes that memo.
After the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Well, then why are you not wearing pants?
What?
Oh. What?
Oh, well, that's all just because right. I'm looking at pictures of Ellen Nordgren on the machine.
Oh, who is single?
By the way.
All single ladies.
I was watching the replay that Current does every afternoon at 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
And you can totally see what you're watching on on your
mm-hmm.
computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Porn
no,
King.
No. No.
Okay.
Not
all
on
right.
company time.
All right. All right. StephanieMiller.com.
Pictures of her face. Come on.
You were watching face. 1940s planes blowing things up.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, Sexy Liberal on Twitter. Yay! Get your tickets. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang joins us in hour number three.
Yes.
On the phone because he's in Florida,
mm-hmm.
as they say. We also have another, we have a big show.
Yeah, we do.
Because when I came in, you said,
The White House called.
John Register, National Co-Chair of Obama for America, coming on this hour. Tina Dupuy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jim.
Hello.
All right, make that sound good. Boy. Hilarious. From Crooks and Liars, and also the editorial producer of Indecision, the Comedy Central's blog, which
That's right.
is hilarious. All right, all that on the big Friday show. Oh, and I think I mentioned at the top of the hour, I got Van Jones' cell phone number, girls. Uh-huh. I hung out with Van Jones last night. Ooh, can you read it? No, you can't.
Although with DVRs nowadays, they can pause it. So I wouldn't
you
hold
can't. It. It's only I'm just doing this.
Please don't hold that
all right.
up anymore.
Okay, I'll just hide this under
Thank
here.
You.
All
Look,
right.
here it is. Look here, right
he
here. Look.
Is
don't write it down, though.
A, smoking hot. B, and by the way, thanks for giving people tips.
What?
I would freeze your DVR and try to zero in on that.
People aren't stupid.
All right. Well, I might. Sorry, Van. Okay. Anyway, but he is brilliant. He's just he was on the show for his new book, Rebuild the Dream, and he has a website, rebuildthedream.com. He's just brilliant. You have to go. You have to listen to him. But I got to hang out in a fancy living room somewhere in Beverly Hills and with a lot of fancy
at
folks.
At some compound?
Yes, at a compound of some
with
sort.
With a meadow?
Yeah, that's a nice little shack. I think Geist used to run Universal, something, you know.
Whatever.
Something like that. Studios, some big movie studio.
Wow. Probably owes me money then.
Yeah. Oh, I brought that up. Okay, and the Reiners were there. It was amazing. But he is just he is one of our best thinkers, I think,
yep.
on the progressive side. We got to have him back on again.
We will.
Yeah, he may come to my big Memorial Day bash
Ooh.
Next weekend.
Or did he just tell you that?
He probably.
People have a tendency to do that to you.
I got the best RSVP ever from Jim Ward. Because he takes the time to be funny when he RSVPs, and he said, count us in, and by us, I mean Romney and Hitler, who are exactly alike in every way. Thanks, Joe. Did you get that, Newsbusters?
Yeah.
We've had some ongoing controversy
around
here.
You hear that, Dana Loesch?
All right.
But I never tied Blondie to the top of the tank when I was invading Poland.
And you know who else sort of RSVP'd, but I think he was just teasing me?
Who?
The dreamy Lawrence O'Donnell. He said, is karaoke absolutely required? And I said, not in your case, because you'll drive the chicks wild. Another liberal hottie. But I'm like, OMG, are you really coming? Or are you just teasing me? So I don't know. But you know who I can invite? The new official three-year-old of the Stephanie Miller Show, Miranda, to sing.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Wow.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Wow.
Yeah. Say hi, Stephanie Miller.
Hi, Stephanie Miller.
Hi. Okay. All right.
She's actually 23.
Yeah.
That's just gonna act that she does at parties.
A little YouTube act she has. All right. Wow. So Mitt Romney found a conviction about something. And that conviction is that he absolutely doesn't want religion talked about in this election cycle.
Wonder why.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, do
I mean,
really?
I can see why Obama, being a Muslim, wouldn't want to talk about it.
Yes, but I mean, I'm just saying.
Oops, I talked about it.
Being a Muslim in Reverend Wright's church.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, didn't this just, I'm sorry, just stinks to high heaven because yes. he has had no problem eviscerating his opponents with the nastiest ads ever. He would do whatever it takes to win. It's just he doesn't want the conversation to be about religion. So
right.
It's like, I draw the line here. That's out of bounds, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. That's no way.
Uh-huh.
Well, A, you know what? Because he knows it didn't work. It didn't work the last time.
Right.
So, trust me, if it worked, he'd go with it. But and then B,
plus he doesn't want people
it
looking
brings up
into,
religion.
Yeah, certain things in his family's past.
Yes, yes, exactly. Exactly.
And his religion's past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Romney strongly criticizes the super PAC. Did he have a problem with one super PAC that eviscerated all of his opponents in the Republican nominee? No.
Nope.
Now he's like, oh, my goodness. Oh.
Heavens.
Oh,
good
out
heavens.
Of bounds, good fellow.
That is beyond the pale.
Oh.
And I know from pale.
Bad form. Republican candidate Mitt Romney has come out publicly and called for a friendly PAC planning to run an ad against Obama, linking him to controversial pastor Reverend Jeremiah Wright to abandon the ad. He reportedly said he worries his campaign will be portrayed as an attack campaign. Now a warning? Really?
Now a warning?
He said, I would like to see this campaign focus on the economy. Just look over here, look over here. Don't look at Mormonism. Look here.
Yeah, but by the economy, you should mean the one
not
that
Bain.
Was left.
No.
Yeah.
The economy that was left to Obama. The mess that he had to attempt to fix.
He said, I think what we've seen so far from the Obama campaign is a campaign of character assassination.
Computer says no.
I hope that isn't the course of this campaign. I hope they won't bring up, you know, inconvenient things about
done.
My record as governor
anything
or
I've done
at Bain
or said
Capital.
Ever.
Yes, exactly.
Because that'd be character assassination. That assumes I have any character, which I don't.
Which I don't, so.
My character is just the right height.
Fill in panicky laughter here.
I'm not laughing uncomfortably.
Even the way he did this whole thing was awkward. Did you see him on the plane? I haven't had a chance to read the New York Times. I don't even know what you mean. I don't. How would I have a principle about something if I don't even know which way I'm supposed to flop before I've even flipped? I don't. I'll be in front of the aircraft.
Besides, I don't speak commie. See, I don't understand New York Times because it's liberal.
Even Chris Matthews was going off on him yesterday because he goes, I had an opportunity to read the paper on the aircraft. Who talks like that? Who? What are the aircraft?
On
the plane. I read the plane. Who talks like that?
Who says aircraft?
I had an opportunity on the aircraft. Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the aircraft will be flying at an altitude of 30,000 feet. And,
which is just the right height.
Should,
yeah.
And should we lose power to both engines, the aircraft will descend rapidly. And the aircraft will then become a giant fireball.
Okay.
Thank you for flying Giant Fireball Airlines.
Okay. you remember back in the Republican primary, he went out of his way to say he could. They had no control over friendly super PACs. They were just, you know.
Super who?
They were not. They were uncontrollable.
Sure. Yes.
I used to play Pac-Man. That game was just the right height.
I couldn't.
He
possibly.
Said, laughing uncomfortably.
No, he used to say he could not possibly rein them in.
They
were like out of control, untrainable dressage horses. They were just, there's no way you could have any, there's no coordination. That's illegal. Well, that's illegal. It's illegal. I can't.
They were dressage horses without the dressage.
Exactly.
Yes.
Just dancing on their own. They were like breakdancing.
Spinning on their back.
They were breakdancing, improvising dressage horses.
They were zombie dressage horses.
It was like Martha Graham out there.
And then suddenly, Fossey, I had no control. And now, apparently, he does have control. Now we can tell them to stop.
Can dressage horses do jazz hands? Jazz
and,
hooves?
And spirit.
They can't do spirit fingers.
If they throw their hooves off, they can. Jazz hooves. Spirit toes.
No, they can't do that.
If they throw their hooves off, they can.
What?
If they are unshod.
Hooves? Your you horse know, shoes, you mean?
Shoes, yeah, shoes. That's right, shoes.
They can throw their hooves off.
Hooves. Well, they can, but they could be.
They're shoes.
If you take the shoes off, then they could.
No.
No,
sort
they can't.
They have no
toes.
Fingers.
No.
They have no toes.
Spirit hooves.
No. They can't.
They
it's
can't.
Just a thing.
They really don't type very well.
Here's the bad thing about being on TV. You can see me pathetically, visually grasping
yeah,
for
do like
hooves, things. Okay.
Horses can no more do spirit hooves
spirit
than
hooves.
Mitt Romney can appear human.
Okay. Anyway, Romney has abandoned the tactic, and it seems he's taken a page from John McCain's playbook with his unequivocal admonition for support of PACs that seek to run ads linking, yeah. Because apparently John McCain knew it wouldn't work either, so...
Right.
I know, you're like going, really? Is this all you got? Really? Like, birtherism is back, and the preacher. Is that it?
Birtherism is back in a huge way.
Oh,
Holy crap.
Drudge says Obama was born in Kenya. Look at that helpful headline.
Yeah, okay. That's nice reporting there, Drudge.
So. Obama lit agent, 1991, born in Kenya. Oh, because there's some pamphlet, Jim, somewhere that says, some, you know, he was... Yeah. And if there's a pamphlet...
Eric Bullard is calling it Typogate. Because a typo was made on this pamphlet and Drudge is running with it.
Go with that. Yeah. Run with that. All right. Run like a dressage horse. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, off to a rollicking Friday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is all very strange.
I agree. Something's not right.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie.
324-5944. Van Jones did not write 867-5309. I'm going to prove this is his real number. Okay. 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800, step 1 to the phone
number. Is that in the 123 area code?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Coming up at bottom of the hour, John Register, national co-chair of Obama for America, to talk about what's at stake for veterans election. He lost a limb serving his country, and he's an amazing...
18 years ago today is when he lost his limb. He said today is a live day on Twitter. So.
Yeah, and he is an amazing spokesman for veterans issues. We'll talk to him in just a couple of minutes. Let's go to Will in Chicago. Hi, Will.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Hey, happy weekend, everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, the Republicans have spent all this time and money worrying about voter fraud and passing these the ID laws to try to prevent this whole voter fraud thing. And after all these years, they've never been able to find anyone. Well, they finally found somebody. It's a gentleman who has bragged about the fact that he registered himself saying that he lived in his son's basement so he could vote against Ted Kennedy. Do you want to know who this guy is? Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney performed voter fraud, and so we finally found him. So all this
there you go. There's the guy.
Yep. There it is.
Yep. See, I was going to guess it was someone pretending to be Chris LaVoie who was reading his name upside down. Okay. That's a fear. Old fear of Chris's, along with the elves and what else is it?
Swords and elves. Don't like movies,
and
books, or any kind of entertainment.
Voter fraud scares
with
you.
Swords or elves, and especially swords with elves committing voter fraud.
There you go. Which is so
committing voter fraud with
prevalent.
Swords.
Sure.
Yes.
We have a big problem with that.
Sure.
Especially in Middle Earth.
Peter in Washington State. Hi, Pete. Welcome.
Hi, 70.
Hi.
I had to laugh when Jackie just said that Romney came out with a Spanish version of his new commercial and titled it Dia Uno.
No.
Yeah, that makes no sense in Spanish. That's just totally stilted. It's like the same way he speaks English, you know. It's like you would say, you know,
Primer
Dia or Dia Numero Uno, but you would never say Dia Uno.
¿Dónde está mi autenticidad?
Yo soy el...
Precisamente.
Yo soy el hombre.
Dios mío. All right. I'm just guessing Ann Romney at some point in her life has said, hola, ¿dónde está los caballos?
Están.
I'm just saying.
Keep doing that.
All right, whatever.
Well, I don't think Ann Romney would get it right.
Yeah, that's my point. I got it wrong on purpose because I'm playing Ann Romney.
Yes, of course.
Margo and Raleigh are
here. Your whole life. It's a good use there.
Hi, Stephanie. How are
Hello,
you?
Hola. Hi, Margo.
I keep hearing that Obama cannot run on his record, yet I keep seeing all these advertisements in North Carolina where he's running on his record. Then when they talk about Romney's record at Bain, Romney calls that smear campaign. But Romney is saying that when you talk about his record, you're smearing him.
By telling the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, Margo. What else is he running on? I mean, why would we vote for him for president? He's saying, vote for me. because of my record as governor and as a businessman at Bain Capital. And so we're like, okay, let's discuss that. All right, 47th in job creation. The other three states were hit by Hurricane Katrina. Number one in debt in Massachusetts. And then you look at Bain Capital and you go, overall record of bankrupting companies, sucking the money out, and shipping jobs overseas.
Exactly.
And then there you go. See, it smeared him just then.
Sure.
The facts have a liberal bias.
Yes. Exactly. All right. You know, for a second, they cracked open the door yesterday. Let's talk about religion. And he's like, slam. Yeah. Well, all right. Okay. You want to talk about the preacher that's, you know, everything the preacher that Obama went to said? Let's open the Mormon door and see what's behind there.
The president's Muslim preacher is a bad Christian.
Hello. Why? What's in there, Mitt? Oh, it's multiple wives.
Sister wives.
Calling black people mud people and... No women is, you know. All right. Oh, slam.
Oh, we have these sacred documents, but you can't see them.
No, you can't see them.
That's why they're secret.
No.
Buddy in Columbus.
And Ann Romney and I did get married, but you couldn't see it.
No.
So you have no idea what
no.
we did.
No. We're here in the Mormon fort. We're pulling the rope up.
Absolutely.
You can't come in the fort. Okay, Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Mama, you know why Mitt Romney's running. It's our turn.
Yes. They're both on record. Ann Romney, it's our turn. Mitt Romney, turn.
Actually, they're from another planet. By it's our turn, it means resistance is futile.
Yes.
So you can come in.
Wow.
I am the Rombot 2000.
Hey, Mom, the one thing is that Wrigley, why he backed off of that sliming Obama so quick.
Yes.
But he owns Ameritrade.
Yep.
A whole bunch of people said, you know, we can live without Ameritrade. And there was like... millions of dollars moved out of Ameritrade yesterday.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, you know,
maybe we do like the White Sox better than the Cubs. We could just as easily buy season tickets elsewhere.
Yes.
Hmm. Lynn in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. Listen, you know, that's the second time Romney has committed voter fraud. The first time was when he lived in California, but... voted in Massachusetts and claimed he lived in the basement of his son's house.
Right. Yes, yes, as people that are used to a hardscrabble upbringing do.
It was an unfinished basement. Good
right.
heavens.
Wow, so I've been, in my little Van Jones swoon all morning.
Sure.
It's just in from associate producer Rebecca Taylor. Gavin Newsom booked for hour number three.
Wow. Oh, my God. I hear he has a new show.
Yes, I'm told he does. On the fabulous current television debuting tonight.
I've heard of them.
Yes. I once did a panel with him, and they made the mistake of putting me right next to him. And
you
I just
got lost
the
in those
time.
Eyes, didn't you?
Like, he asked me a question. I wasn't listening. I was like, you.
Did he know that you were a gay L?
I don't think I was out yet.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what you are. He's so disturbing.
Isn't that Superman's mom?
Good looking. It's just, I was like, you're so pretty. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you ask me a question about something about policy?
He's a very pretty man.
I was this close.
But he knows...
It's like looking directly into the sun during an eclipse.
But he knows a lot about a lot of stuff.
Yes, he does. He's really smart, but who's, you know...
But he was married to Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Okay, Tammy...
What? He was?
Tammy in Arizona.
Hello?
Who counts people on Fox? Not me.
I know.
Okay, Tammy in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I was calling about the smear campaign from the Super PAC. I think that it was actually a really specifically targeted campaign by Romney. It was not, I think that he got two things out of it, that he got the birthers and all of the far right all pumped up and ready to go. But not only that, but he got to go on television and say that he denounced it. So it made him look like the good guy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the swing voters he's looking for.
You know,
for
Tammy,
it.
That's an interesting, because nobody believes the crap that they don't coordinate.
No, they don't.
They don't coordinate.
Right.
It's like, how about you say this? So it puts that out there again about Reverend Wright, and then I get to come in like Dudley Do-Right to save the day. Oh, whatever.
That's
Mitt.
Mighty Mouse.
Okay. Whatever. 29.
She was up late last night.
Jazz hooves. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
At this point, champagne just sobers me up. Let's go eat some martinis.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. When the White House calls, we answer.
We answer.
That's right. John Register is the co-chair for Obama for America. Here to discuss with us, proud veteran, here to discuss what's at stake in this election for veterans. Good morning, John.
Hi, good morning. Great to be on your show, Stephanie.
It's so nice to have you on. And you call this your Alive Day.
Yeah, well, yesterday was my Alive Day.
Oh, yesterday.
That's when I lost my leg. And it's kind of a freak hurling accident after coming out of Desert Shield, Desert Storm. And actually, I went to the Pentagon yesterday and 2 days ago, and a friend of mine actually had the pictures to prove it.
Wow.
So it's pretty wild.
Wow.
Well, first we're very excited to talk about the veterans and for Obama.
Yeah, first and foremost, thank you for your service. Yeah, and by the way, you're a Paralympian. You've won 9 gold medals in armed services competitions, I was reading.
That's correct, yeah.
Wow. Look at you. sorry, John, your phone's a little bit of feedback. But let's talk about, I mean, obviously, people may not be aware because the Republicans always claim to be the party that's for the military. But, you know, when push comes to shove, they're really not, are they?
I don't think so. I think that President Obama, you know, has just done some phenomenal things that just don't get out there. And we just need to really let veterans understand what he has done for in the creation of jobs, in the creation of health care, as well as education. You know, for example, for jobs, he's been returning veterans to finding good jobs and giving great business tax credits for hiring unemployed veterans and wounded warriors. And under the health care side, you know, secure the largest increase in VA funding in decades to ensure our veterans, you know, like myself, get the care and benefits that they've earned. And like treatment for PTSD, which is the most common injury we see coming out of the theater right now, out of Iraq and Afghanistan, and traumatic brain injury, you know. And I think on the opposition side, that, you know, I just don't think that they get it. And you know, when you have a president that releases tax returns, and you see on the tax returns that he has been supporting veterans and military families out of his own personal finances, that says a lot about somebody. So we wish that Governor Ron would do the same and release his tax returns so that we can actually see where he's giving his money to.
Right. Well, you know, and John, I think it's interesting that, you know, as we all know, we talked about during the Iraq War, not only was that an unnecessary war where I feel like we broke our first, you know, our first rule is that we should never, ever send you into harm's way unless it's absolutely necessary. But, you know, obviously he sent you in, you know, without the proper equipment and then didn't take care of you when you got home. And so I think that, and the thing you just brought up, PTSD, the suicides, I mean, there's such a double wave of tragedy after people even survive war and get home, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, that's really true. And I think that, you know, what we have to do is there's a soldier's creed that we never leave a fallen soldier behind. And whether that's coming up with, you know, again, like we were saying earlier, like on the area of jobs, of creation, because we don't want those individuals to say, you've gone to war, you fought for this country, and now we're going to come back and under Governor Romney's system give you a voucher, you know, for your health care. That's kind of ludicrous, right?
Yeah.
You know, we protect the freedoms of those that send us off into battle, and then we're going to give you a voucher system. I just don't think that's fair.
Well, jobs.
You know, John.
As you were saying, let's go over, because I think, as you say, maybe people don't know, but, you know, what President Obama has done is signed into law 2 tax credits that encourage businesses to hire unemployed and disabled veterans, boosted Veterans Affairs budget every year so the veterans receive access to the highest quality benefits and services through the post-9/11 GI Bill, ensuring veterans have the chance to rejoin the workforce and get a college education. Talk about Romney, then, as you say. I mean, this is another thing where you get President Obama's slogan, we're going forward, we would go backward under Romney. Talk about how.
Yeah, I think that, you know, under Governor Romney, you know, I just think that he really kind of lacks the foreign policy judgment and vision necessary to be president. He touts his plans to get us into wars, but offers no plans to end them, right? And so veterans and military families across the country, you know, they're working tirelessly to reelect President Obama because they know that voters will face a clear choice in November. Governor Romney has suggested privatizing veterans' benefits and giving veterans, you know, vouchers, as I stated before, an idea that outside experts would say would leave veterans unable to receive essential care and that the veterans of foreign wars immediately oppose. Governor Romney also said that he might eliminate the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, which would end programs that help homeless veterans and put thousands more on the street. So, you know, I think, with inside of that, you know, there's one prison that understands veterans and understands the sacrifice that they've made, and one that's trying to become president who just doesn't get it for a veteran and their services.
Well, I mean, let's start with the fact that Romney-Ryan budget would cut veterans, you know, spending by $11 billion a year. And then on top of that, as you talk about, he, you know, Romney has suggested privatizing veterans' benefits. This is the one system that's working really well in our country, right, Sean? And he's going to give veterans vouchers for health care. This is one of those, you know, Paul Ryan ideas.
That's exactly right. And I think the president has challenged private sector businesses to commit to hiring and training, you know, at least 100,000 unemployed veterans and their military spouses, because as we know, some of the vets, they just can't work anymore because they've been so, you know, they've been blown up in on the battlefield, losing limbs, going with PTSD and spinal cord injuries, burn victims. And so they give those, you know, give that over to the spouses so that they can, you know, earn the income. Since the president issued this challenge in August 2011, 60,000 veterans and military spouses have been hired, and 1,600 companies have committed to hiring 160,000 more veterans and military spouses in the years that are coming up.
You know, it just seems like it's another one of those issues, John, where, you know, the Republicans' priorities are just wrong. I mean, even when, you know, we're talking about these automatic Pentagon cuts, I mean, what they keep fighting for are weapons that are unnecessary, that the military said they don't need, that are ineffective. That's where they're fighting to keep the money instead of for the soldiers like you.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's you know, going off of what we don't have and what we actually need on the battlefield. You know, one is, like you stated earlier, do we actually need to be engaged? And then do we need to be sober? Because, you know, soldiers don't fight for government. Soldiers don't fight for, you know, politics. What soldiers fight for are for each other to come home. That's what soldiers fight for. And so once they get home, then I want them to understand that there are some people back here that really are in their corner for the things that, you know, mentioned before, and creating this veterans back to work plan and giving tax credits for hiring veterans. You know, that's a big issue, because these folks have some skill sets that are necessary to help move forward our economy. And in November of 2011, the president signed into law the Returning Heroes Tax Credit, which does give those businesses that hire unemployed veterans a credit up to $5,600 per veteran, and the Wounded Warrior Tax Credit, which gives businesses that hire vets with service-related disabilities a credit of up to $9,600 per veteran. So that's really helping our veterans move forward, get off the battlefield, and get back into employed life and fight the fight on the economic side for America.
Well, you know, John, it's great that you're getting out there and really, you know, getting the actual facts about it, out about actual things the president's doing for actual veterans, because all we hear is this rhetoric, because the military doesn't like Obama, the military's, you know, for whoever the Republican is. And I got to tell you, whether you see the president striking the Heisman pose in front of a bunch of service people, they seem pretty happy to see him.
Yeah.
He seems pretty popular every time I see him with the troops.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, going back to one of the things I made on the, you know, about a president who actually gets it, right? So one of the things, he didn't have to, you know, release those tax returns, but that's something that's very private to somebody, because we do vote with our dollars, right?
Right.
And so when we spend our money, that's what's important to us. And so when I see that the president and first lady have been doing this for, you know, whatever number of years that he released, supporting military families, that's something that he didn't have to put out there, or that's something that's very private to him. So that tells me a lot about his character and what he thinks about veterans, because he's voting for veterans with his dollar.
Yeah, and John,
I also
saw Mitt Romney yesterday criticizing the president on transparency, which is
hysterical,
which is hilarious, because But good point. We'd like to see those tax returns. John Register, National Co-Chair of Obama for America. John, thanks again for your service and for taking time for us this morning.
Hey, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you, John. All right.
And one institution that hires a lot of veterans is the post office, and the Republicans are trying to shoot that down, too.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is what I was talking to John about, misplaced priorities. Months-long fight in Congress over how to avoid automatic across-the-board cuts to defense programs set to kick in next year. GOP approach, of course, passed by the House, override defense cuts with billions of dollars in cuts to food stamps and other social programs for the poor.
Wow.
Democratic alternative would replace the automatic cuts with a mix of cuts to corporate subsidies and higher taxes on the wealthy. But the GOP denied the bill vote.
We could probably pay for it with getting rid of oil company subsidies by themselves.
Yeah. That might be magic almost. Hmm.
poor oil companies, what would they do?
What would they
with
do?
The subsidies.
Their record profits aren't enough.
Jennifer in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Are you, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
I was wondering, I know this is kind of an old story, but I was wondering if PETA ever got involved with the whole Seamus thing.
Well, I think because the story didn't come out till years later, I don't think so. But, you know, I'm sure they've gone on record as criticizing it. But,
okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything. And, of course, living down in Texas, we don't hear a lot.
Yeah. I think that story just kind of speaks for itself. And, you know, the outrage is there without PETA having to make a huge deal of it.
Right. Jen, isn't it in some ways just another bullying story? And, again, what I think I've heard again and again, it's the way he reacts to these stories. Yeah, I don't know if you saw him, he reacts by chuckling.
It.
Oh, the dog loved it.
That fake laugh that never reaches his eyes.
Right. And, Jennifer, somebody was saying, and I think that's true, again, if you reacted like a real human, you know, people might have had some empathy, and people might have, that have five kids and know what that's like to go on a road trip with five kids might have, you know what I mean? If he would have said, gee, I realize now that was really not a good thing to do, but yada yada. But, you know, he never will admit any error.
He said dog loved it.
I mean, it's just he always lies.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, chuckle, 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 no empathy, you know, and then lies about it.
These cookies are substandard.
I know the biggest lie. He jumped up there himself. Does anyone think a dog is capable of jumping into a crate on top of a car by itself?
I don't even think your dogs are capable of jumping on top of a car.
No.
Well, they would crush it if they did.
Yes.
Well,
just like a little
car
paper
crusher.
Airplane.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour.
Fun summer.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Here's a Stephanie Miller Show fun fact.
What?
Roland, the sexy liberal, high-strung sexy liberal tour director.
Yes.
He used to be her agent when he was a baby agent.
Oh,
really? Back at William Morris. Yes. Aww. He was very sad. He has a sad yesterday.
Yeah. A lot of us did.
I know. Yeah, I loved her. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Marja in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marja.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Moo.
Good morning.
So I'm wondering, I know, Jim, this would be so perfect for you for your repertoire. if you've heard the quote that Romney had when he was speaking with Hannity the other day when he said, I stand by what I said, whatever I said.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm not a flop. I don't know where you got the idea. I'm a flip-flop or whatever I said.
Whatever
I said, I stand by it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, could it be any more ridiculous? I saw that headline and I thought it was right out of The Onion. It didn't even seem like a real headline.
Yeah, here it is now, Marja. Thanks for bringing it up. Here we go. Mitt Romney.
I believe that President Obama's goal was to shape my record right, and if so, the evidence of that in his policy.
I'm actually going to. I'm not familiar precisely with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was. And with regards to, I'll go back and take a look at what was said there.
I'll have to go take a look at what I may or not have said. And that, but
unless
I
it makes me look bad, and then I will flip flop on it like I usually do.
Or under it, or on top of it.
Whatever it was, whatever it is, I stand by it. What did I say? Oh, I don't stand by that. No.
I don't. What did I say that? No, that wasn't me. Or maybe it was. But I stand by
That inappropriate laughter just signifies a lack of conviction in something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Susan in
That's
Illinois.
Frightening.
Hello, Susan.
There's no
Yeah. Yeah.
Mitt Romney is Oakland.
I just want to say I felt
The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes to the city of Oakland. Okay, go ahead, Susan. Sorry.
Hello. That's okay. I felt like such a proud American after listening to Joe Biden talk yesterday, and then I watched the Bill O'Reilly show, and the way he bashed him was so disrespectful.
Yep.
And I just really think he is so jealous the way he talks. And he shouldn't use big words he doesn't know about, like class warfare. The way people look at class warfare, they view it differently than the public. The public views class warfare as kind of against them, and you kind of wonder what people mean by it when they say it. I just think Bill O'Reilly is very disrespectful. Yeah. He's our, you know, vice president. He's a good guy, and Bill O'Reilly, every time he bashes them, he just sounds very jealous.
Yeah, right-wing world today is filled with people who were bashing Joe Biden yesterday. It was
a great
speech.
Thank you, King Segway.
Passion.
Thank you, King Segway. Why don't we... You know, listen, you need to have some empathy for Bill O'Reilly since he needs to do it live, and that is very, very stressful for him. Just saying.
Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
Oh, dear.
Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. What's the deal? Because I think the vice president, you're right, he's forceful, he's effective.
Yeah,
and
it was soaring rhetoric. Yeah,
and that.
Yeah, they didn't like it.
Rush Limbaugh.
So Joe Biden is off the reservation. Mm-hmm. Little Elizabeth Warren lingo there. Joe Biden is going nuts. 2 days in a row now, he's gone nuts. I told Cookie I want the Biden sound bites from yesterday.
Cookie?
Because you know what I saw?
No more Snurdly?
I saw we played these Biden sound bites where he was going nuts yesterday about people don't get us. What do you mean we are against fairness? What do you mean we don't want people to get wealthy? What do you mean? When you see it, when you see Biden's face...
Mm.
When you see his eyes, when you see his
facial
expressions, I wouldn't call it demonic. I'd go deranged.
Isn't that always about any Democrat? Unhinged,
passion.
Unhinged, deranged.
Rich people should pay their taxes. That's deranged. It's insane.
It's called passion, Rush. You might want to look into it.
Well, it's hard to speak with the passion and authenticity of Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's hard to speak with passion when you're all hopped up on OxyContin.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Carl Cameron on Fox News.
One day after an angry rant about his middle-class parents' ability to dream as big as any rich guy, Vice President Joe Biden again said he resents the notion that the middle class is content with merely the opportunity to own a home, send kids to college, and care for seniors.
And this is their straight-down-the-line campaign political reporter.
Yeah, that's just a news report labeling something an angry rant.
An angry rant. When it was an impassioned speech. Carl Cameron is the biggest tool on that network. Mm. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Bill O'Reilly and Ben Stein.
Barack Obama is a smart man. You would say that, right? He's a smart man?
No, I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't even say he's a smart man, huh?
I would say he's a smart man. I don't think he's a terrible... I mean, he's not in the same league of presidential genius as... Nixon, for example, but he's smarter than the average bear, as we say.
Wow. Yes, that Nixon sure was smart.
Well,
he was
smart.
He was. He did have an astute political mind. Mm-hmm. I will give him that.
Yeah.
However, he got in a skosh bit of trouble.
Wasn't quite that smart, was he?
No.
Okay. Michelle Malkin on Fox and Friends.
The more people know, the more they are truly informed, as opposed to being preached to by the water carriers in the media, the more they like Mitt Romney and dislike Obama for a second term.
Hmm.
And I think that really needs to be mined
on
by the Mitt Romney campaign.
Hmm. Huh.
And they have an educational and... I mean, you could call it an evangelical mission to make sure that people don't merely consume the fables that are recycled by this White House at taxpayer expense and then regurgitated by the White House press corps.
Huh?
Is she not counting the... Oh, what's that? The Fox poll that has Obama over Romney. Is she not... They're not covering the Fox poll on Fox?
She just conveniently ignored that.
And
then talk in circles.
She's probably short on time. I'll cover it for her. Michelle? A new poll from Fox News has President Obama leading Mitt Romney by 7 percentage points, 46% to 39%.
Fox News poll. Fox News.
Hmm.
Fox News.
So everything she just said there kind of...
She says no.
Well, people hate Obama because he's, you know, foreign.
Gretchen Carlson on Biden.
He's talking about the American dream,
right,
which a lot of people think has been under attack for the last couple of years, by the way. The people who start with nothing and work really hard and make a buck have been vilified for the last 3 years.
Yeah, but who
many
dreams?
Times by this administration. So I thought it was really ironic that he was talking about millionaires. He could have thrown in billionaires, too, because those have been the two buzzwords that this administration has used to talk about people that we should not like in our society right now.
No. He just says they should pay their taxes.
Yeah, she's wrong. Imagine that.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. So that was all the fair and balanced coverage of the Biden speech. Okay. All right. We're running short on time, so we're going to have to wait for till after the top of the hour for Harry Jackson.
Harry Jackson.
Not Harry Johnson?
No.
No.
Okay.
Different guy.
He's from the on American Family Radio
show.
Boy. Ah, I see radical gay activists are just like Hitler?
Yep.
Stop stealing my shtick.
That's hilarious.
All right.
I dare say Romney's like Hitler, too.
What?
I mean, they both appeared on the cover of Time magazine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See?
Okay.
See? There you go.
We will be back with that. And Tina Dupuy from Crooks and Liars next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Now it's like, not only can your doctor lie to you, I mean, the thing with this Violence Against Women Act is that it's really in the wake of them, the entire Republican Party saying that the war against women is something that the Democrats are making up. It's just in your imagination, honey, except for the fact that now your doctor can lie to you. I drove through Arizona recently. I had a legal pregnancy for about 12 hours. It was very jarring. You know, this is a very extreme time in the House, and I would like to note that this is the first time in 30 years that we've actually seen a decline in the amount of women in the Congress.
Yeah.
We have fewer women now in the Congress than we have since the 70s. And so there's all these just extreme pieces of legislation that are going through. You see this also at a state level where Republicans kind of cleaned up in 2010. And now the first thing that they did instead of fixing the economy bringing back the Constitution or whatever their Tea Party's slogan were 2 years ago. Now it's all about how we can make women into legal public incubators.
Yeah, well, I mean, but let's talk about specifically the, as you talk about the ugly provisions in the Violence Against Women Act. I mean, one of the big, as you say, most egregious is the requirement that immigration officers consider any and all evidence provided by the abuser, even if it's uncorroborated and the only source of negative information. I mean, even if you were trying to make this really egregious against women, you could barely do this, right?
Right. I mean, it's basically better than no law at all. I mean, it's not only gutting what the Violence Against Women Act really has been for the past 20 years. It's literally better than it's worse than nothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's amazing how, it's like they find people to, basically people to bully, don't they? I mean, it's Native American women, LGBT partners, right?
Right.
And, right, as you say,
no,
immigrants.
Anybody that they disagree with, anybody who is not Christian, they're all for being for religious freedom as long as you're talking about whatever sect of Christianity that they happen to approve of. It's anybody, basically, I mean, it's anybody who they don't like. It's all very petty. We're now in power and we're just going to go after people who we disagree with.
Tina, I loved your piece on gay marriage, the Republican love affair with the past. Yeah. Let's have some nostalgic music, shall we? You say the future scares us, and we all wish it could be more like it used to be. Mom, one of my favorite lines of yours, I personally don't agree with any history before sewage systems, women's suffrage, or the Loving decision. I also refuse to romanticize any era before the advent of antibiotics.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, as you say, the current crop of Republicans less into Jesus, who didn't like rich people or capital punishment, than they are into first century values like stoning misfits in the public square. They pick gay marriage to condemn as the evil to kill us all, because for Republicans, there actually is a magic time in the not-so-distant past to be nostalgic for. Specifically in 2004, then gay marriage was the perfect catalyst to get people to vote Republican. And here we are again, right?
Right, exactly. And, sodomy was made legal by the Supreme Court in 2005. So far, nobody has reported anyone else turning into a pillar of salt. I mean, everything
really?
That they've said...
Have you researched that thoroughly, Tina Dupuy?
Of course I have. Well, I say something on your show that was
all right.
Not factually correct,
right.
Stephanie.
No, of course not.
But, you know, so there's all, you know, we keep on being told that this is going to be the end of the country and frogs are going to rain down and all these things are going to happen if we let minorities have the same rights as other human beings. I know.
Yeah.
And what happens is no one really pays attention to it anymore, and no one even remembers. The funny thing to me is that we no longer talk about, wait for it, don't ask, don't tell. It just went away, and nothing's changed, and it's just made life easier for a couple of people in America to serve openly and love openly, except for that they can't, you know, most places they can't have their unions recognized.
Right. Tina, wouldn't it be nice for people like John McCain to come out and say, I was wrong with all my fear-mongering about what would happen in the military?
Wow, that would be like a full, that would be like a week long of him talking about being wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, he really, like, he would really have to clear his schedule.
Yeah, it's not the policy. It's not the policy. Okay, it was the policy. I forgot. But you say when gay marriage becomes the norm, which it will eventually, we probably won't even notice. We'll get the same amount of wedding invites. Only all of these will be legal. You'll know the same amount of gays you know now. Our children will have the same likelihood of being homosexual as they do now. Very few Americans' lives will change. Won't that be the greatest day when it's just nobody cares anymore?
No one cares.
And everybody's living their own life and just, yeah.
I mean, if we really want to boil it down, spousal privilege is so boring. You know, I was sitting trying to write about gay marriage in 2012, and I was like, I've done all these jokes already. You know, it's been 5 years. You know, no one cares anymore. Most of the public now agrees with President Obama on this issue. They disagree with the Republicans. The Republicans want big government when it comes to people who they personally disagree with. And, you know, and going back to the Violence Against Women Act, that really started as a human rights issue, and we stopped talking about human rights in this country as soon as we opened Gitmo. But human rights was something that we, in the 90s, was a big issue with the Democratic Party, and the Violence Against Women Act was an attempt to have human rights for women, and human also applies to gay and lesbian, trans and transgender individuals. And we've gotten away from that because we've now, you know, been
And it's almost good for us politically, Tina, that they do keep running the same old musty play. You know, just going to end up in the dustbin of history. I mean, by the way, now that we have you here, let's finish Right Wing World with you, with Harry Jackson from the American Family Radio, which it's kind of great that the homophobes already sound like lunatic fringe. This is from American Family Radio
it's
Hour.
It's a special kind of marriage for the radical gay activists, and they want to impose their will on the culture. And many Christians are sitting back, and we aren't speaking out. But the reality is, just like during the times of Hitler, we have people coming after one group, after another group, after another group, and folks are saying, well, this doesn't affect me. I'll let this slide. We have a problem that really we've got a whole generation of people who want to affect not only their own lives and choices, but the choices of the other.
So he knows for gay marriage.
So he's saying...
So gay people getting married...
Is kind of like
just
going.
Like Hitler.
I guess they're getting married in concentration.
Kind of like going after the gypsies, but since I'm not a gypsy, you know.
I see. But they're really coming after the breeders. That's what it is, Tina. That's coming after the straight people.
It hit really all the hot buttons. First, you have Christians aren't speaking out, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Christians are silent all of a sudden. It's like, really, really? But it also has this kind of rape fantasy fear-mongering, right? So, like, you know, not only are we going to indoctrinate you, but, you know, that gays are going to sexually assault you.
Right. Oh, yes, gay rape camps, sure.
Right.
That's always been on the homosexual agenda.
And just to make it even, you know, like the nutty Sunday that we all come to expect from these people, there's Nazis. And it's just like the Nazis. I went to the Civil Rights Museum in Tennessee, in Memphis, and there was a sign, a protest sign that I love, and it said, race mixing is communism.
Wait, what?
And it was like, of course it is.
Of course.
We figured it out.
Anyone would come to that conclusion. Tina Dupuy, you remain a complete delight over there at Crooks.
You're
Crooks
so wonderful to me.
At Crooks and Liars and as a carbon-based life form. We love you.
You're the best ever, Stephanie.
Thanks,
thank you.
Tina. All right, there she goes. Tina Dupuis, she's awesome.
That's right.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, a freak show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. So what? 22 minutes after the hour.
You're still a rock star.
Yeah, what? Right? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Maria in Chicago. Hey, Maria, welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment about the taxes and how the job creators or some of the job creators don't want to pay their fair share. The thing is, what I find ironic is they want wars and they want subsidies, but they don't want to pay for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I find that very ironic. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, none of the numbers make sense.
Right.
So if you're Scott Walker, you just make up new ones.
Right. That seems to be the conservative way of life, though. They want all kinds of things from the government, but they don't want to pay for it.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, did you see the AP interview, Walker, not afraid to lose the recall? Stupid Wisconsin. I don't care.
I don't care. Recall
remember,
this.
Remember
you're
he
dumb.
Said he had a higher calling?
Yeah.
Stupid
I have a higher
governorship.
Recalling.
Stupid heads. I want it anyway. Maybe I'm supposed to be president.
Maybe he's one of the boring white guys that Mitt Romney is considering.
He says he's not afraid to lose the recall election he faces in less than 3 weeks. But if he wins, he intends to govern in a more inclusive, consensus-building way. Oh.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Oh.
You're a lying
sack
of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty
like,
sack
they're
going
to fall for that
crap.
Again. Because I always, you remember, I always ran on union busting. Yeah. He did, that's the problem, is he didn't, he's all the stuff he's doing, he didn't run on. So, I mean, this is like Wile E. Coyote. Oh, no, I'm going to be, it's going to be much more inclusive. This time I've really learned my lesson.
This time I won't pull the football away.
Yes. Oh. Here, have a cigar.
Here, I'll put the movable hole on.
Yes.
Come through here, follow me, through the movable hole in the side of the mountain. Put on these rocket skates. Okay.
They won't make you go over the cliff at all.
No.
And they're just the right height.
Walker refused to say in an interview Thursday with the Associated Press whether he would veto a bill making Wisconsin a right-to-work state, which would allow workers to refuse to pay dues even if they are covered by a union contract. He says he would actively oppose such a proposal. Oh, you can't believe a word the man says.
Sure he will.
Okay.
Hello, he lied.
Hello. Yeah. Rick in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Hi there, Stephanie. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Well, listen, I thank you for taking my call. Here's where I'm at. I need to ask this.
Okay.
They've been talking about the Obama administration, creating 4.2 million jobs. I'm kind of like the Decon commercial. Prove it.
Uh-huh.
Give me a list. Tell me the number of people that were hired by the companies. Because I've been unemployed for 8 months. I'm in the
No one else could have gotten a job because you're still unemployed. So you don't believe any of the numbers that George Bush was losing 700,000 jobs a month.
It's all about you.
No. I believe that that's happened, but it's kind of like I've been unemployed for 8 months, and I contact the HR departments in the mental health field, and they're saying, Rick, I'm really sorry. They're not leaving their jobs because there are no jobs to leave because the federal government and the state are cutting funds, so there are no jobs created. We're losing jobs in our county left and right.
Your federal government includes the Republican Congress,
yes.
Realize.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that.
Rick, I don't know what to say. job numbers are obviously generally believed by both sides of the aisle because those are official numbers. It's a nonpartisan.
That's right.
For instance,
CBO.
Yeah, the Congressional Budget Office. So
he also said he's
I've
in
been
the
out of work for 8 months, so I don't think nobody else could possibly have gotten a job.
He also said he's in the mental health field. That's a pretty specialized field, and so there aren't going to be as many jobs as say. Factory workers or anything like that.
I'm in the mental health field in that I'm...
You're a crazy cuckoo banana?
I'm a crazy cuckoo banana radio host, and there are no more openings. There's so many, only so many openings to talk to yourself in a padded room by yourself all day.
Don't bother selling crazy here. We're full up.
At least the mental health field is expanding. At least it's not working in radio.
Okay.
Field is kind of contracting.
Ask Glenn Beck
how very lucky to have a job here. I know that. I realize that.
Dolly and Joliet. Hello, Dolly.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Listen, Romney has this self-revelatory capacity, which I hope his handlers don't straighten out, because, like, when I make a mistake, I try to hide it, or when I do something really embarrassing, like my whole history in high school algebra and geometry, I hope nobody remembers that, but, like, he just laughs it up. He's
Billy in Family Circle. He's
not me.
Not me.
Or Eddie Haskell. You know, I mean, I'm dating myself there, but that's it. So
exactly. All right, let's go to that Family Circle.
Family Circus.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was funny.
Family Circle was a women's magazine.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I meant Circus.
Which probably ran Family Circus.
Right.
About the only way you can
it's
see
almost
it.
As funny as Marmaduke.
or Howard Hughes. He's always on the couch.
He's always on the couch. He's big. Okay, let's go to Carol. And we are just out of bullets by Friday.
Yeah, I know.
Carol in New Hampshire.
I'm
drunk. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi. You know, Stephanie, you've got a great show, and I've just started listening to you in the last couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Almost everything you say, I check out a lot of facts is true.
Right.
And I'm originally from Massachusetts, and I was all my life, I just moved up to New Hampshire in the last couple of years. And they asked why people in Massachusetts aren't enthusiastic over Mitt Romney, because they know Mitt Romney.
There you go.
And most people can't stand Mitt Romney, except for the very rich in Massachusetts. And another thing is...
well, he's not even going to compete.
He's a conniver.
He is a conniver. You're absolutely right.
He's a conniver.
The Republican Party is a conniver, so he fits right in with them.
He's a wicked conniving, isn't he?
Oh, you better believe it. I know him pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's not even going to compete in Massachusetts, they were saying yesterday. And if you know you're going to lose your home state, which never happens.
They know me too well there.
Your home state usually backs you.
That's right. That's right. Thank you,
so
Carol.
Why don't they consider this? Why is Massachusetts behind him?
That's right, because he sucks. All right, Carol, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love her.
How much do we love all our new TV characters?
We do.
It's like it's become a big, giant sitcom now. We get, who is it? So, oh, Pam and John in Ohio, the Pam and John show?
Yep.
Aunt B in Tennessee?
Yes.
How great is Aunt B? Okay, let's go to Jessica in Maine. Hey, Jess.
Hi. Yes, hi. The official volunteer of your show.
Yay!
And we're fighting for marriage equality here in Maine. We got it on the ballot again.
Yay. You can get there from here.
But I have to tell you, I was at my doctor's office a couple weeks ago, and she has this poster on her wall of a woman with a black eye, and it says, just because her partner loves her doesn't mean she can hit her.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Hello. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you're crazy. You're like Margot Kidder hiding in the bushes. Kind of crazy.
What? You will believe a man can...
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 past the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Yeah.
From anywhere. Gordon in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gordon.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I wanted to point out something. That audio clip you had a while before, the guy talking about gay marriage?
Yes.
I think you're interpreting it all wrong.
Uh-huh.
The guy is, I think he's actually defending gay marriage and comparing himself to Hitler. Especially if you take that first sentence off. You know, it's just like Hitler. First they come after one group and then another. These people are just scrambled into their own
That's not what he meant.
No, the American Family Radio would not book somebody.
Because, ironically, like the first group they came after were the gays.
Yeah.
And then the gypsies. And then the Jews.
Well,
if you're keeping track.
Social Democrats.
Yes. Sorry.
And then pretty much
everybody.
Biggest
party in the Reichstag.
Tina in Chicago. Hi, Tina. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. You guys are great.
Thank you.
I'm a 77-year-old black woman from Chicago, and I have two things to say.
Okay.
The Christians that are talking about abortions and things like that would come from church and go out in the field and hang black men.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yep.
The other thing I have to say is that if the Latinos, the Afro-Americans, the gays, and all of these people are for Obama, how on earth is that other man and Obama neck and neck? I don't understand that. Maybe you guys can explain that to me, because I don't understand it.
Well,
thank you very much.
Oh, thank
some
you.
Some of the polls are skew right. They only ask certain people.
Well, interesting that the
questions.
Fox poll is the one that has Obama up by 7, and you know, I think the average of Real Clear Politics has Obama up like 2.5 or something.
Yeah.
But you know, it is. I mean, we've always been a pretty evenly divided.
And also, the press have a stake in making it look closer than it actually
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Well, and don't you know?
Improve ratings.
Don't rule out Obama derangement syndrome, because it's just there. Apparently, are a hunk of people that will vote for anybody but Obama, including this guy, the Ricketts. What's his name? Did you see this plan? The defeat of Barack Hussein Obama, the Ricketts plan to end his spending for good.
They're going to give him Ricketts?
The spending plan to get rid of Ricketts? What?
No. The man is
Ricketts. Oh, okay.
The $10 million plan, one of several being studied by Mr. Ricketts, includes preparations for how to respond. I love this part.
Sounds like a Jim Carrey character.
I know, Mr. Ricketts.
Or Don Knotts' character. I love this. It includes preparations for how to respond to the charges of race baiting it envisions if it highlights Mr. Obama's former ties to Mr. Wright. So they know it's racist. They're just like, how do we prepare for the inevitable, you know, charges that this is racist? The group suggested hiring a spokesman, an extremely literate conservative African-American, who can argue that...
put the black guy out there. He'll fool people.
Isn't Zimmerman done with his convenient black best friend? Couldn't he present him as...
God.
Who can argue that Mr. Obama misled the nation by presenting himself as what the proposal calls a metrosexual black Abe Lincoln.
Say that like it's a bad thing.
What? You know, they do know that Abe Lincoln was a Republican, right?
Guess who the strategists have already contacted? Larry Elder, our old friend, conservative black radio host here in Los Angeles, about serving as a spokesman. Well, he's already very busy, because he's the only black at the Republican convention every year, isn't he? He has to busily change like dresses and wigs and stuff so it can appear that there's more black people there.
Well, he'll tell you he's a libertarian until the Republicans pay him.
No, not anymore.
Until the Republicans pay him enough money, then he'll say he's a Republican.
Hmm.
Just saying.
That sounds kind of self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
If only we could say what my former black best friend and producer of my show back in the day used to call Larry's show.
Yeah.
But I can't. Okay. Okay. But we love him. He was always very nice to me.
He was nice in the hallways.
All right. Okay. I don't. We were, somebody was saying earlier, who knows if this already wasn't coordinated, that, you know, they sort of throw this out there as a trial balloon, which thuds, and then it allows Mitt Romney to look like the good guy and suddenly say,
that's
beyond the pale.
I've
never
read this on the aircraft now, and it's
heavens.
Outraged.
I hope that our campaigns can respectively be about the future and about issues. And about a vision for America.
Meaning, and look away from religion. Yeah. Don't look at the Mormonism back behind me. No, Floyd, no.
Look forward. Always look that. No, not forward. That's
no,
wrong. That's
not
a,
forward.
That's the wrong slogan. That's uncomfortable.
I'd like to ask Mitt Romney's preacher what he thinks about issues, but I can't.
No.
Because all of that is hidden.
Yes.
Inside the temple.
Mm. Mitt Romney again yesterday.
The centerpiece of his campaign is quite clearly character assassination, and the centerpiece of my campaign is going to be my vision to get America working again and provide a brighter future for our kids.
Yeah.
By character assassination, you were
happy to have every super PAC eviscerate every single one of your opponents in the Republican primary with a bunch of lies.
I can't do much about that.
Yeah.
Well, I had nothing to do with that.
Character assassination to go, I'm running on my record as governor of Massachusetts and at Bain Capital.
Here it is.
All right.
This is what I did.
And then the Obama administration is like, all right. Why, that's character assassination. All right. And
that implies that he has some character.
I repudiate that effort. I think it's the wrong course
for
a PAC or a campaign.
Unless it's my PAC.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Going after. Yeah.
All right,
Mr. Ricketts pack.
I have to hear this again because this was fairly hilarious. Yeah. Whatever I said before, I'm for that. I stand by it. Whatever it was I said, unless it's something that seems
unless it's something I disagree with,
and then I don't anymore.
I'm actually gonna. I'm not familiar precisely with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was. And with regards to, I'll go back and take a look at what was said there.
Okay.
We
have it from earlier this year, what he said about Reverend Wright.
I'm not sure which is worse, him listening to Reverend Wright or him saying that we must be a less Christian nation.
Hmm. I don't stand by that now. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't.
I may be standing by it, but I'm looking in the opposite direction, so it doesn't count.
Wow. There is not enough panicky laughter for this situation.
I'm standing in somewhat close proximity to my statement, but I'm not actually looking at it. So I'm not standing by it in a sense that, oh, boy.
And you hear the latest one they caught him in yesterday is him, you know, talking about how great Bill Clinton is. That he, you know, I don't think, you know, and apparently he and Obama hate each other, and then, of course, they cut to right during one of the primaries, him, you know, mm-hmm. I did whatever I could to vote against Bill Clinton. I went out of my way in any primary, you know, in Massachusetts to vote against Bill Clinton because he was horrible.
Etch a sketch.
Wooka.
Is that what an etch a sketch sounds like?
I don't think so. That was more like a Wile E. Coyote song something.
Wooka.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, Debbie. Wooka. All right.
There you go.
Where am I? Peggy in Texas. Hi, Peggy.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
I'm totally hooked on your show.
Thanks.
I am so sick and tired of these Bible thumpers calling themselves Christians. They don't demonstrate the first thing of Christian behavior, and I'm insulted and offended that they insinuate that Democrats are so immoral. They are the ones who are so immoral, unforgiving, unchristian.
Yep.
And I really am coming to the conclusion, and I'm nearly 70 years old, that the church is the one becoming the Antichrist.
Mm. Well, it's not the church. You know, I've often said this. I think they need, you know, you need to take your religion back.
Mm-hmm. It's the leaders that are becoming a little too powerful, I think.
Yeah. You know, you need to say that the, like this guy, for instance, we've talked about, there's been a... First of all, a rebirth of the Jeremiah Wright thing, and birtherism. Birtherism is back. Everything old is new again.
I
want to
see the birth certificate.
And we know how well that worked for them the last time.
How?
And they're going with it again.
This time it's
going
to work.
They're plucky.
But I hear on right-wing radio that it's the Obama campaign that's desperate. Panicky.
Mm. Mm. That's what Gretchen Carlson told me yesterday morning.
Yes.
Well, it must be true.
Representative Mike Kaufman, that guy. Republican of Colorado,
apologizing
after being caught on tape, again, delivering a rant about how President Obama is not an American. He said, I don't know whether Barack Obama was born in the United States of America. I don't know that. But I do know this, with that in his heart, he's not an American. He's just not an American.
Wow.
But now, he's
walking that back a little bit.
Trying to paint himself as a moderate. He's backtracking. I misspoke.
No.
How is that misspeaking? You can't be any clearer.
That was pretty definitive.
I misspoke, and I apologize. He said, I have confidence in President Obama's citizenship and legitimacy as President of the United States. I don't believe the president shares my belief in American exceptionalism. There's that again. Oh, load the liar cannon. This is what they always say. He didn't say anything about American exceptionalism in his first 7 minutes. He said, I don't think the president was born here.
You're liars. You're meddling in things that are none of your business.
It's like the Breitbart sites. They still try to have it both ways.
Yep.
Media Matters writing, if you have to start a piece with a disclaimer announcing that Breitbart News is a site that has never advocated the narrative of birtherism.
Wow.
Yet they often helpfully post these
ridiculous
things. We're not saying,
We're just reporting it. We
you
just
decide.
But
here's a lump of crazy for you crazies. The latest installment of the self-serious and wildly incompetent Breitbart.com-led vetting of President Obama's concerns, a 1991 pamphlet, So you know it must be true.
Yes, this is Typogate.
Published by Obama's former literary agency that erroneously describes Obama as being born in Kenya. Ha ha ha! Check yours! The Breitbartlings claim that they're not publishing this as bait for the unkillable birther conspiracy, but rather because, well,
they
don't seem too sure.
Yeah, they have no idea why they're publishing
it. Whoop, how'd that get there?
Must be another typo.
Yep.
Those damn elves. In the middle of the night, they come in and put things on there that
don't belong.
Yes, it must have been the same. Who removed, all the W's from the typewriters or
whatever?
It was a complete full story, something.
Those same elves. Those little Dana Loesch elves going around.
Sure, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek, I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Make the most of your color with the very best paint. Ask Sherwin-Williams, won't you? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow, maybe to get the conversation off the Etch-A-Sketch prop, Mitt Romney has a new annoying prop. Jim, have you seen it? The debt clock?
Yeah.
Or as a media calls it, Mitt Romney's incredibly dishonest new campaign prop, a debt clock.
There's a switch.
Mitt Romney began campaigning with an interesting prop behind him, a large real-time debt clock tracking the American debt and each individual taxpayer share of it. Incredibly dishonest for Romney to scare people about the debt when in reality he has absolutely no serious plan to cut spending and reduce the national debt. Oh, unless you count Paul Ryan's marvelous plan.
It's marvelous.
Which would add, I believe, $5 trillion to the debt.
It's marvelous. Yes.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie Munster?
By diminish, I mean increase.
Yes. Okay.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Mm.
I won't go!
Yes.
I won't,
no.
I won't.
Take your little plan. Don't forget your vouchers and go. Defense spending accounts for a whopping 20%, for instance, of the federal budget, almost never sees serious cuts despite being mind-bogglingly wasteful, yet Mitt Romney refuses to touch the military. He has fear-mongered over what he characterizes as massive cuts, which are actually just reductions in planned spending increases, and also gets rid of some of the island of misfit military toys that we've discussed.
The tank that shoots grape jelly.
Yes. The ship that doesn't float, the plane that doesn't fly in the rain.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the truck with square wheels.
Square wheels. Sure. Okay.
And the Charlie in the Box.
Yes.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the Box. Okay. Nobody wants a Mitt in the White House.
No.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the Box.
Debbie in Portland, Oregon. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Happy Friday.
Thank you. You too.
The reason I'm calling is to make three statements. To the gentleman that called and said that he's having trouble finding a job in the mental health field.
Yes.
Well, he needs to point directly at his Republicans. Why? Because that would be a government job. And who's cutting the money to the government? I think it's a House. And control the House?
By the way, there's a lifetime appointment available as my therapist. There's some job security.
The other thing that I wanted to say, I love all these polls, but one of the things that I wanted to tell you a couple days ago was when we had our primary here in Oregon, the president got 250,000 plus votes running unopposed.
Mm.
Mitt Romney got 173,000 and a little bit of change. But there were still 60,000 Republicans that couldn't fill in that bubble for Romney.
Yeah, wow. There you go. There you go. Oh, by the way, speaking of the debt, Jim, John Boehner says he doesn't have a debt sword or something.
People are looking at me like I'm the guy carrying a sword around town and you're going to bludgeon someone. All I'm suggesting is it's time for us to talk about this.
No one would give you a sword because you're always drunk. No one would ever.
You don't bludgeon people with a sword.
No.
Unless it's really dull. Unless you haven't sharpened it in a long time.
Then it's not much of a sword.
No.
It's more of a stick.
Blunt object of some sort.
It's a hip flask. It's multitasking.
Yeah, it's hollow. He keeps his liquor in there.
Harriet in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Harriet. Welcome.
Clang.
Hi,
Chick-clank.
Hi. I love your show.
Thank you.
Listen, maybe you could explain to me why is it so wrong for this immigrant guy with Facebook to renounce his citizenship so he doesn't have to pay taxes.
Oh, doesn't that tick you off? And stay out and don't come back.
I'll tell you what ticks me off worse. It's Mitt Romney hiding his money so he doesn't have to pay taxes
and
then running for president.
And not releasing his tax return so we can even see what he's done with most of his money or where it is over the years. It's, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Eduardo Severin made his fortune in America, but doesn't want to pay it back in any way, shape, or form by evading taxes by moving to Singapore.
Yeah.
That's
the Romney rule.
Oh, maddening.
All right. Delegate Bob Marshall. Let me just take a moment to first say, let me have his care of the
And you are, and we would know you because...
He is the delegate. He's the one who blocked the. He explains his decision to block the gay judge. He's the one
in
that
Virginia.
Said, yes, he's the one that said sodomy is not a civil right. Which, first of all, you are wrong.
Wrong. The actual Supreme Court. Said
sodomy,
it
as he so quaintly puts it, is a civil right. The holding of Lawrence versus Texas, which established that consenting adults have a right to be free from government interference in their private sexual conduct. So, first of all. Bob Marshall.
He had to misstate his background in order to be received into the military in the late 1980s. There was a specific question, are you homosexual? He had to say no. He took an oath of office, which he had to defy. Dr. Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks never took an oath of office that they broke. Sodomy is not a civil right. It's not the same as the civil rights movement. You have to look at the past. And in fact, look, in late 2011, he was critical of the, don't ask, don't tell. He criticized our attorney general simply for explaining what the law of Virginia is with respect to, certain protected classes.
First of all, here's a fun fact. Unlike the gay judge he just blocked, he never served in the United States military.
Delegate Bob Marshall?
Yes.
Okay.
This makes no sense. His lifestyle is contrary to his obligation to uphold the state constitution. Then he doubled down on what he said the day before by just what he just said, that he apparently had the audacity to serve his country while gay, which has never, ever happened.
What a bastard.
Before. By the way, his gay son, who he mentioned, I think, in his remarks, is to sort of ameliorate that he voted against it. His gay son has spoken out. He said of his father, he was given the opportunity here to actually be a leader. I guess he didn't take that leadership role. And it's disappointing to see that on something like this, he said it should have gone to the House floor for a vote. Essentially, he prevented that from happening.
Wow.
So, cats in the cradle,
sounds
Bob
like
Marshall.
Silver spoon.
Yeah,
sounds
right.
Sounds like he's the
when
adult
you coming home.
In that relationship. You don't know when.
Yeah, right.
You get together
little
then.
Little boy blue
just
and the man
stay
the
away from train tracks.
Right?
What? Nah, never mind.
Jim Harry off Chapin. The rails.
Yeah. Harry Chapin was.
Okay.
I see. Yes. Really?
All right. Let's go to Shirley in Philadelphia. Hi, Shirley.
Hey, welcome to Philly.
Thank you.
We love you here.
I love me some Philly.
I got a great idea for the guy in mental health. You see, I'm worse with some worse shit than you guys. I work in the newspaper industry and lost my job.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit worse than radio. Yeah.
Right. But then I did something really unbelievable. I volunteered. And through my volunteer job, I got a job at a homeless shelter for women and children that are victims of domestic violence. And I can tell this gentleman in the mental health field that he could volunteer much more easily than me, and maybe that might help him, because I'm in a field that's never going to run out of work.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he may
be. So, I mean, maybe he might try to give something back, and then maybe something might happen to him.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm sorry about the newspaper thing. I still, in your honor, read the newspaper every day and get my fingers all dirty.
She does.
I do that, and I have a paper calendar, Shirley. So I did my part.
Awesome. It's a very, very sad thing to happen in this country.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. I do. I like the actual paper. I don't care. I'm old-timey. 58 minutes after the hour, the editor of Comedy Central's Indecision blog joins the sexy liberal John Feeblesang and sexy liberal Gavin Newsom as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Election, because obviously there was a lot to talk about online as well as on the television. And in the past year, we've really grown. We've added video photo galleries. We've launched an app for iPhone and iPad. We're on Twitter, we're on Tumblr. We're really everywhere you want to be on the internet.
I was looking at, we were talking about the latest polls too. You did a piece about the Fox poll because oddly, I didn't really hear that reported on Fox. You, as you say, whoopsie, someone at Fox likely just got fired for this story. Obama pulls ahead. They don't like to report good news for the president, right?
Well, no, but, you know, it does happen. Everyone makes a mistake now and then. It's, we're all human.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll have someone in the Chiron department make an inadvertent error that misreports it.
That's going to be one of the best jobs ever, the Fox News Chiron department.
Well, you know, Mara, it's interesting. One of the things I was wondering about is, you know, you write in your piece, the gender gap is alive and well. Women continue to be more likely to back Obama in this poll, 55% to 33%. I just heard everybody in right-wing world, Rush Limbaugh, everybody on Fox yesterday saying there was some other poll where they're going, see, there is no war on women, and oh, you know, because Romney in that poll was like they were sort of dead even or 1 point ahead.
Yeah, you know, I honestly, as much as I love looking at poll numbers obsessively and monitoring the changes day to day, I feel like it's really early to be taking these too seriously for the general election. You know, whatever people are saying now, give it a month, give it 2 months. We've got a long road ahead of us. So I'm not getting too, I mean, yes, obviously for joke writing purposes, we're going to follow every poll obsessively. As a human who votes, I'm not getting too upset about it.
Right. Well, I mean, it was like the marriage equality thing. People were like, oh my God, they're hurting the president. And then, you know, you think, okay, well, maybe the people that feel most strongly against it, the knee-jerk reaction at first. But again, as you say, where it's so early in terms of electoral politics, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, one of the things that I've found, and I think this is fascinating, all of these little things that bubble up on the internet, little scandals and gaffes, you know, and we think, oh, it's so terrible, I can't believe he said that. And then the poll numbers don't move. The approval ratings for the candidates don't really change. So we make a big deal of it. But people, I don't know that they take it as seriously.
Oh, Mary, we're 75 to 80 gaffe cycles away from Mitt Romney. I mean, it's only May.
It is only May, and it's easy, I think, to forget that there is a lot that can happen between now and November, and that whatever it looks like the scenario is today, it might not necessarily be the case.
Right. You write another piece about Obama riding high in New Jersey. A new Quinnipiac poll shows Obama a strong favorite to win in Jersey, even when he's matched up against, the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie.
Chris Christie, I know. Well, first of all, Chris Christie, one of the great gifts to political comedy writers. He is really funny, and I think he has a sense of humor, too. I mean, that video that he made with Cory Booker recently, I don't know if you saw that. New Jersey, I think obviously New Jersey is a Democratic state, so I don't think he's too concerned about that. There's a lot. I think that's the other thing, though. Like, there is so much time between now and the election. The pollsters have a lot of space to fill, you know, so they're going to be doing this, and we're going to be reporting on
it.
In the end, I don't know if it really matters.
Right, because we're in the Veep stakes, though, and so it is kind of it is sort of funny that this poll has him beating Romney by 10 points, and guess what doesn't help? Picking Chris Christie. That does not help hardly at all in New Jersey. The one thing, you know, you write about, too, is Gallup polls. I don't know why certain polls are different, but, you know, as you were saying, Gallup polls sends mixed messages on Obama's reelection chances, right?
Yeah, it is true. I mean, to the average layperson looking at the newspaper, do they care if it's a Gallup poll or public policy polling or Quinnipiac? I mean, is that really more for the wonks to worry about? I mean, and it's funny. You can look at the same question from six different polling agencies, and it'll come up with completely different answers. And you just have to wonder. I mean, there's guys that are just talking to different people. I mean, people are different. That must be the answer.
Well, I mean, one of the things you guys must have loved over at, you know, the Comedy Central blog is sort of the comedy of the punditry. Because I remember during even the last election cycle and the primary cycle, like literally they're like those bobbing dog heads, like, oh, yes, oh, no, he will never beat Hillary Clinton. She's blah, blah, blah. You know, it becomes one common wisdom after another. No, working class whites will never vote for, and then it's just one thing after another. I remember when he picked Palin after the first speech. Oh, my God, it's over now. She's a superstar. I mean, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, the media picks a storyline and runs with it until they see something shiny over in the corner, and then they run there, and then, you know, something jingles in the distance, and they run that way, and I mean, it's great for us. I don't know if it's great for the political discourse in our country, but it certainly keeps things entertaining for what we do.
This just in, shiny just picked jingle as his running mate.
Yeah, we're all the pundits, basically, we're all the E-Trade baby. We're just well-spoken, but just easily distracted by shiny objects. All right. Well, Mayor, I hope you'll check back in with us as the election season rolls along. It looks terrific, the new Comedy Central Indecision blog, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Fantastic. I hope to. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks so much. There she goes.
Hooray.
What? Speaking of numbers, polls, has Pat Buchanan been alerted that the brown people are outbreeding the white people?
Oh, it's a catastrophe! Get the boats! Send them back where they came from!
We need those boats again.
Yeah.
Gawker writes, black is the new white. Non-white births outnumber white births for the first time in U.S. history. Oh, dear. This actually is the first time in the history of the United States it's happened. Yep. Slightly more brown people.
That's right.
Pat Buchanan.
Yeah. And even bigger nightmare for him, there are people who are beige.
Nah.
A little bit of everything.
Colors, you can't even tell. What
How can I don't even know who to hate anymore.
Pick one color or another. Okay.
I don't know which epithet to hang on you. What are you?
Debbie in New Hampshire. Hi, Deb. Welcome.
Yes, hello. Hi, guys. Hi. I enjoy your show. And I just wanted to make a comment. I'm answering back. One of the ladies, a 74-year-old lady, called about religion, and she made a comment about maybe the Catholic Church is the Antichrist. And I just wanted to say that Ms. Stephanie dealt with that really well, because I am a religious person, and her comment was unbelievable. She just said, well, you know, maybe this is an issue that you as a Christian needs to take your religion back. And I think that is the issue. People don't understand the Bible.
Take it back from people that are misusing it. That's right.
Exactly. Because, you know, the Bible, there is a passage in the New Testament that Jesus said. The Bible was just the tutor, was just a tutor to the law. I am the law, so therefore you need to go get away with all that that's in the book. He died for all our sins, which gives way for forgiveness and from everyone to be included and not be excluded.
Yep, thank you. By the way, speaking of the polling and people freaking out, mm-hmm. Oh my God, black people aren't going to vote for the president now because of the marriage equality.
That's says no.
It's a lot of hooey.
Okay. The Obama effect, the headline, growing number of African Americans come out for marriage equality. And again, you know,
I'm guessing Alan West isn't one of them.
No. Same douche nozzle he always was. While African Americans
are
generally less supportive of marriage equality as a whole, a growing number of black leaders and community members have come to embrace the issue. And this is, again, what we talked about, what leadership is. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't happen overnight, and attitudes and hearts and minds don't open overnight. A lot of people held views for a long time. But Representative John Lewis, for instance, Democrat of Georgia, said Dr. Martin Luther King took a simple position. When people would ask him about interracial marriage, he would simply say races don't fall in love and get married. Individuals fall in love and get married.
There
so if two men or two women want to fall in love and get married, it's their business. He said, my position is very, very simple. I fought too long and too hard against discrimination based on race and color, not to stand up and fight against discrimination based on sexual orientation. If you're going to provide civil rights and equality for everybody, you can't draw a line. You can't build a wall. We must respect the dignity and worth of every human being, whether they are gay or straight. And that's, you know, he's a key figure in the civil rights battle in this country. 54% of African Americans support Obama's position on same-sex marriage, according to a new ABC Washington Post poll. That's the highest I've seen.
Yeah.
Compared to 41%, compared to 41% of African Americans who supported it in the last poll, just in mid 2011, early 2012, there was an 11-point shift for marriage among African Americans in North Carolina, where obviously Amendment 1 just won hugely. And that's just since he, I mean, 11 point, that's huge, just since the president
huge.
Spoke about this.
Huge.
It's only 27%, but it's up from, you know. I mean, let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, our poll before the primary last week found only 20% of black voters in the state favoring gay marriage, and now 27% expressed support. Representative James Clyburn, a Democrat of South Carolina, highest-ranking African-American Congress, said, I, like the president, have evolved to the point of marriage equality. I've not always been there. I grew up in a parsonage, a fundamentalist Christian parsonage, and I grew up with that indoctrination, and I've grown to the point that I believe we have evolved to marriage equality. If we consider this to be a civil right, and I do, I don't think civil rights ought to be left up to a state-by-state approach. I think we should have a national policy on this. Me too. A Pew Research Center survey concluded that most African-Americans say the announcement did not alter their opinion of Obama.
Pew, pew, pew.
So there went that media storyline from last week.
There you go.
All right. It's 18 minutes after the hour. What were those sound effects?
Pew, pew.
Oh, okay, the pew poll. Thank you.
Pew, pew, pew. Sounds like a 70s computer.
Ray gun. Yeah.
It's Friday, and we need a nappy.
18
minutes desperately. After the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'd rather not. I'm tired.
No?
Come on.
It's Friday.
Come on. 23 minutes after. It's pants-free Friday.
I just need a nap.
23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free. From. Oh, good news for us.
What?
Today's study, coffee drinkers may live longer.
Yeah.
I drink a giant jug-o because I go to bed at...
Stupid o'clock?
Get up at...
Insane o'clock.
Right?
You know, I drink a whole pot in
Jackie
the morning.
Jackie Schechner must drink like a garbage can full. She gets up at like midnight or something.
I do drink a whole pot every morning. It's half calf, though. So, yeah.
Why,
so
not, half why not of you just awake drink and half. Full calf and less of it?
Because I suck on it all morning long. And
beg your pardon? Sorry.
Excuse me?
Come again. What?
All sex is... Okay. All right, well.
Anyway.
All right. Let's just leave that now. All right. Anyway. In other hip-hop news... Oh, I do have some now.
You have hip-hop news?
Yes, I just look for stories that I can say in other hip-hop news. Jay-Z is performing for the Made in America 2-Day Festival.
Yep.
He thinks he's going to get President Obama to perform. He said, I'm going to call him, try to get him to do a little Al Green.
Oh.
He's not. I think he's busy. No. I don't know.
Yeah.
Computer says no.
He's handsome and romantic, though. Come on, play it. Do we have it? Never mind. All right. Wow! Don't you hate when this happens? When the hot rocks explode in your pants?
Excuse me?
This is worse than when your crystal meth lab explodes in your pants.
Rocks?
If you're having a bad day in this economy, whatever. 43-year-old woman undergoing surgery after two rocks she collected at the beach ignited in the pocket of her shorts.
Were they freshly thrown from a volcano or something?
No. It's in San Clemente. Woman was standing in her kitchen after returning from an outing to a beach. She'd been home about an hour when the pocket of her cargo shorts caught fire.
Wow.
Hate when that happens.
Yeah, those are real pop rocks.
The woman, it gets worse. Her day gets worse. The woman tried to stop, drop, and roll, but was unsuccessful in getting the flames out. Her husband also tried to help and got secondary burns when he tried to pull the shorts off. They called the firefighters who arrived. The husband had successfully gotten the shorts off his wife and was hosing her down on the front deck with a garden hose.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
embarrassing.
God.
I mean, like seriously.
Fukushima residue or something?
Yeah, why are
you're naked getting a hose down by your husband? Front deck when the firemen get there.
After rocks.
Have exploded in your shorts.
Yikes. I blame Nixon. San Clemente, you know.
Yeah, right?
Something he did, clearly.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Just fire
okay.
and brimstone. Let's just,
a bunch Nixon's of hot firemen show up, and there you are, shortless with secondary burns, being hosed down by your husband. I mean, really.
Have they done tests to determine why these rocks exploded in her pocket?
I do not have the rest of the information. I'll get it back to you. Okay. I'll gather it and I'll bring it back to you when I have it.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
All right.
Remind me not to go rock collecting on the beach in San Clemente.
Yeah. And the second don't you hate when this happens story, don't you hate it when you steal a diamond and swallow it and then the police have to wait for you to, you know, it out?
Excreted.
I hate when that happens.
You've made me excrete a sound effect once.
Yes.
I don't have that sound effect.
Get it!
Well...
Police in the Canadian province of Ontario say they're holding a man who allegedly swallowed a $20,000 diamond as long as it takes for him to produce the evidence.
And who's going to dig it out?
Don't look at me. I can't. When you're looking at me, I can't go. Don't. Just give me a newspaper. Don't look
that
at me.
That can't feel good.
No.
Ow.
Diamonds.
Ouch.
That's the hardest substance
I've heard of diamonds on the soles of your shoes.
Well...
I mean, every now and again, what did I eat? Glass? What is going on? What the hell? What is that? Have you ever had, you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Haven't you ever, you know what I'm talking about, Jim? Yeah. Sometimes it's sharp and you don't know why?
What is that?
Have you just released a little too much about your bowel movement?
Yeah, we just really shouldn't do a show on Friday because we're so tired. I'm just babbling.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, everybody knows what I'm talking about when you're just like, did I swallow a spear last
did
the party?
Did I eat a Christmas tree sideways? What?
Do. Did I actually steal a diamond and swallow it? What have I done?
Oh, my God.
When did corn get that sharp? All right, Wendy.
Diamonds? When did I eat diamonds?
Wendy in Ohio. Follow that. Hi, Wendy.
This will be a tough deal, but I'll try.
Okay.
I'm a Mormon who used to be a Republican,
And now I'm Democrat, and I voted for Obama both times.
Oh, yay for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, good. That was just our own little polling right
there.
Well,
yeah.
And we're done.
You know, Mormons, like every other group, they're not monolithic. They don't vote en masse.
Let's do a poll about how many people have fallen perhaps. They ate glass or swallowed a spear or a Christmas tree sideways.
No, we're not going to take calls. We have guests the rest of the hour anyway.
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
Thank God. So there'll be no more stream of consciousness talking?
Sure, Gavin Newsom isn't enjoying this conversation.
Yeah, why don't you ask Gavin Newsom what he ate last night?
Did he just cancel, Rebecca?
I don't want to be associated with these people. What? I don't know what they're on, but...
And now here's a really important senator.
John Fugelsang may share with us if he's ever felt like that before.
All right. I bet he's prayed on the toilet. We all have. He's the ecclesiastical mook. All right, 29 minutes to the hour. We're right back. Or maybe not. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That was nothing but third-hand gossip. You're acting like you're drunk.
And your point
34
is?
Minutes after the hour, Chris and Yankton writes, guys, the Smithsonian's on the phone. They want the bowel movement show for their archives.
Yeah, great.
Also, you're going to get a new sponsor for Stool Softener. There's no Lawrence Welk show anymore. Those advertisers need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Double
Chris.
Double axe.
Great.
Yeah. Today's show is not brought to you by Double Axe. It is brought to you by...
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Jim.
Hello.
Get on the stick.
This hour brought to you by Solar World. Solar World's been making solar panels right here in America since 1975.
Wow.
Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar.
Boy, howdy.
Boy,
all
Rebecca
right.
wasn't even born yet in 1975.
No, she was just a surly fetus, surly embryo.
The surliest ever.
The surliest embryo.
Well, you know, it's Friday, everybody.
With Fugelsang. With John Fugelsang.
Good morning, children.
Good morning, personal comedy Jesus.
Hey, I should point out that Donna Summer's first single, Last Dance, came from the Thank God It's Friday soundtrack.
That's right.
Wow, musicologist. Former smoking hot VJ, John Fugelsang.
So did Brick House.
John Fugelsang, you are in Florida for what reason?
I'm in Florida. I'm working as a diamond mule.
No, you are not.
I listened to the whole conversation. I thought someone's going to go to the doctor with bling in their stool.
I need my stool de-bling, doctor.
I'm out here. I'm doing a Guild of Love story at the Parker Playhouse, where we did the Sexy Liberal show with Alan Grayson last December.
Yay!
And I'm performing there tomorrow night. So I was doing a TED Talks lecture this week in Michigan. And Monday night I was getting kissed on stage by Rosario Dawson at an AIDS fundraiser, and now I'm sitting in the very same Ritz-Carlton bar where I had to pull a drunken Stephanie Miller off Alan Grayson last December.
I don't remember anything about that. All right. Anyway, now, John Fugelsang, what do you make of this? We were talking about, you know, the super PAC that was going to run the Reverend Jeremiah Wright ad against the president, and of course Romney suddenly found a conscience. He's like, "Why, that's horrible! I don't want it. We shouldn't be talking about religion."
Yes, we shouldn't be. You guys go ahead, but I'll have no part of it. That's great. You know, because in case you didn't know this, Reverend Jeremiah Wright's sermons from 10 years ago are vitally important to this presidential election. But Bush's economic policy from 4 years ago is ancient history we should never bring up.
Yeah. But don't you think, great. I mean, first of all, Romney, you know, pretended he was happy to have all these super PACs eviscerate all his Republican primary opponents. He said, they were completely uncontrollable, these PACs. I have no control over them. you know, and now this looks to me, doesn't it, like they floated this trial balloon. You know, it landed with a thud, and it allows Romney now to come out and look like the good guy and go, no. I'm above this, but I think it's about that he doesn't want to open the door to talking about religion, don't you?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, it also shows that Mitt Romney is the human equivalent of a hollow, inflatable guy outside a car dealership. You're exactly right, because if they talk about Reverend Wright, we're allowed to ask about the planet Kolob, where Mormons go when they die because God lives there.
There you go.
Yeah.
The more we talk about religion, the better to talk about religion.
John, somebody told us yesterday. What is the Mormons get? Doesn't every guy get his own planet when he dies? And what else?
And yeah, they've got 100 wives on 100. Each planet.
Yeah. Wow.
100 wives. Wow. So they've out-jihaded the jihadists.
That's right.
And, well, I was just going to say, maybe Joseph Smith was just a better negotiator. It's like somebody won the, 72 virgins. How about 100 wives on a planet? And I'll throw in a Brazilian power kiss crystal.
Exactly, and every religion has shameful past to it. You know, I mean, but the Mormon Church, we can talk about the fact that black men were not allowed to be ministers in the church, and black women weren't allowed to take part in temple sealings until 1978. So when Mitt talks about the faith of my fathers, that's what he's talking about. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of great Mormons out there. We all know wonderful Mormon folks, but every religion has their own screwy mythologies, and Mitt's is really screwy. And if you think that Joseph Smith's story checks out, then you better not go talking about what Obama did as a teenager or as a little child in Indonesia, because it just doesn't add up. So Mitt's trying to have it both ways. And for a homophobe, that's always hilarious.
Yeah, by the way, and I only found out all these Mormon fun facts this week, and I don't know if you heard this, John, but I earlier this week coined my own religion because I found once a Jenny Cream Ale can in 1978 in upstate New York, right outside Canandaigua, I think, and I formed my own religion based around it.
Well, I've actually had the Westboro Baptist Church last night on Twitter threaten to protest my show at the Parker Playhouse tomorrow night.
Nice!
Awesome!
You're in the big leagues, John!
Yep, they tweeted me. So Rebecca Phelps herself tweeted me saying, consider this our RSVP. So I hope they're not teases.
Oh, my God. And we're such helpers here at the Stephanie Miller Show. John, Chris and I are going to FedEx you some cream rinse for Margie Phelps.
Yeah, she desperately needs some.
Yeah.
I was going to say, and a de-lousing kit as well.
Yeah.
but that's what I get for defending the first gay president. Which even, you know, I couldn't believe that headline. Even in the casket, James Buchanan is still in the closet, and Obama's the first gay president. And Bill Clinton was the first black president, the first black president, the first gay president. Who's the first gay president going to be? I'm hoping for a lesbian atheist.
Yay!
Yeah!
By the way, take your organ out, please, won't you, for my own personal comedy, Jesus. If you've heard of this Pastor Paul Cameron, John? Who suggested that Obama was gay, that's what the Newsweek cover means, that it clearly means he's gay. Yeah.
Yes.
He is increasing. Pastor Paul Cameron increasingly starting to believe President Obama is gay, and he has made no bones about alerting the press to this development. He expanded on his initial comments. A host asked Cameron whether he had made the choice not to be gay. He said, "I didn't do that so much consciously. I reacted to my environment." He reiterated he thought the president could be gay. Wasn't entirely sure, but he could see that scenario develop.
He ate the arugula.
Yes. When asked if he could be attracted to the host, he answered, "At my age, it's improbable." But he noted the culture, which was directed toward heterosexuality, kept him from becoming gay after he claims he was molested as a child. With some effort, by the time I was 8, 9, 10, I was thoroughly interested in girls.
Oh, dear. Well, like most normal heterosexual boys. Yeah. You know, these are the people who say hate the sin and love the sinner. But the problem is they tend to hate the sinner and kind of dig the sin. And we saw this last week with Tony Perkins of Family Research Council, who said he'd never have gay kids because he'll teach them right, which I guess his way of calling Dick Cheney a very bad parent.
Right.
you know, and it's all just bigotry, and it's all just a way of getting attention. And these guys have learned that the more homophobic they are, just like Westboro Baptist Church, it's all about getting attention. Who even knows if they're actually real bigots? That's why they're calling Obama the metrosexual Abe Lincoln.
My main personal comedy Jesus question this morning: if as a Mormon man, you do get your own planet and multiple wives, how soon will Newt Gingrich be declaring that he is also a Mormon?
Exactly. Well, and then he's going to have to leave his planet for a younger, hotter, healthier planet. So,
yes.
So that will be very awkward in the Mormon afterlife.
Exactly. So how do you, John, first of all, how do you think we've been talking all morning about polling and all of that. How do you think ultimately the marriage equality debate is going to affect or not the general?
I think it's going to affect it positively. There's nobody who hates gay people that was going to vote for Obama anyway, right? So it's not really going to hurt him. And all these right-wingers who are saying that Obama just lost the election, well, maybe they're right, but he just won the history books, and that's a lot more important. But what
not,
I think
to me.
Really,
not to me. Right? It's going to be a disaster if we have a President Mitt Romney. It's going to be a disaster for gay rights and everything else. So, no,
I don't think it's going to matter, because I think that the president did the smartest thing by saying it should be left up to the individual states, which is why we can all take a bet on who will be the last state to legalize gay marriage 100 years from now, Alabama or Mississippi. I think what he's done is completely, completely revitalize his young voter base who didn't show up to vote in 2010. Exactly. And that's going to really make a big impact. The pundits are saying it will make a big difference. It will if it inspires young people to turn out and do the moral thing.
Yep.
Let's go to Angie in Virginia. You're on with John Fugel saying, "Hey, Angie, welcome."
Hey, how's everybody?
Good.
Hey, Angie.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I wanted to give you a status update because I have your big gay back, Stephanie.
Thank you very much.
As
thank
your
you.
Official Black Rican, I am working on all the black men and Puerto Rican men around me, well, and my mother too, on evolving them to accept gay marriage. And
right
there
on.
Is progress. They've moved
you and
from,
Reverend Jackson.
They've moved from the visceral reaction of ick, yuck, to okay, if they want to have the same piece of toast for the rest of their life, more power to them.
Yes,
so
Angie, I would like to call upon every straight woman in America to offer a three-way, if that's what it takes to bring your man around to to marriage equality.
I am down for the cause.
All right, thank you. Well, hello now. Yeah, I don't know how
ring.
I knew that you and Jim would be supportive of that, John.
By the way, speaking of three ways, I had a great time with you and Aisha Tyler in Minneapolis on Saturday night.
Hello.
And there's pictorial evidence.
Yeah, by the way, the first ever interracial three-way teabagging demonstration has gotten about 1 billion hits on YouTube. Yep. I don't know if you were made aware of that.
I hope Boston is ready for this. We're going to have riots in Roxbury when we do that on stage.
Yeah.
It's going to be horrible.
Although Aisha wasn't quite teabagging you, John.
She was improvising.
Aisha was doing a simulated pegging while I was teabagging. And ask your kids what that means, or grandma.
And also, and she added a little extra discipline. It was pretty hot. It's on Sexy Liberal Facebook, if you'd like to see it. And, yeah, I think as we speak, the tickets are flying out the door for a June 9th Boston date at the Wilbur Theater. Let's go to Barry.
I'm going to teabag myself this weekend at the Parker Playhouse.
Yeah. There you go.
Hello.
Yeah.
Wowee.
Stretch
all right.
First.
I'm in yoga right now.
Stretch. Don't forget to stretch. Barry in Houston, you're on with John Fugel saying, hey, Barry.
Hey, Stephanie. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, you know what? I'm right here in Texas, and there's just something I wanted to mention. I noticed you guys hadn't talked about it, but what's the deal with this whole George Zimmerman, everybody's defending him, saying don't rush to judgment, wait till all the evidence comes out. But right here in Houston, there was this kid who was a burglar, I'll give you that, a kid named Chad Holly. He ran from the cops, but the video plainly shows that when he realizes he's caught, he lays down, the cops cuff him, but they still beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And then people say, okay, well, he shouldn't have ran. He had it coming to him. I'm kind of scratching my head on that one.
That's not the way the law works, Barry. And you know, again, regardless of what has come out thus far in the Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin case, the fact is he should have stayed in his car. Like, we don't know exactly
right.
What happened.
He was stalking him with a gun.
Yeah, that's what we do know.
And the damaging thing about the information we released last night was, you know, I'm here in Florida, so I've been listening to a lot of right-wing radio. There's no MSNBC in my hotel here, but there's like 9 Foxes. And the thing about it is they're all talking about how Trayvon Martin had traces of THC in his system. No one's talking about the fact that the report said that the officers believed that if Zimmerman had stayed in his car, this wouldn't have happened. The officers also said that Trayvon was involved in no illegal activity whatsoever. So those two statements in the same report means that if this guy wasn't profiling, that kid would still be alive.
And John, and somebody was saying, I was also hearing another expert saying it was such a small amount, even though in his system, it wouldn't be admissible, you know, for any reason for the defense. It's not relevant.
Even if they want to. I want to hear them try to do it, because now the same conservatives who've been telling us for our whole lives that pot makes you lazy are now saying it made Trayvon Martin violent.
Yeah, exactly. All right. John Fugel saying tomorrow night at the Parker Playhouse, Guilt, a Love Story, and then June 9th, Sexy Liberal Show with Aisha Tyler and I in Boston. Honey, we'll see you next week.
And also, I'm going to be filling in for Governor Spitzer on Viewpoint. I'll be guest-hosting that on your current network at your hometown on a Wednesday and Thursday of this coming week.
Wednesday and Thursday. Write it down.
Yeah.
All right, honey. Love you.
Have a great weekend, kid.
All right.
You
thank
too.
You. There you go, honey. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Speaking of awesome things on the current network, Gavin Newsom, who is Lieutenant Governor of California now, is debuting tonight, and we will talk to him next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, I am already having a fantastic time.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our new current family just gets more and more exciting, doesn't
it? It does.
By the day, it just gets more magical. Starting tonight, the big news, our Lieutenant Governor out here in California, Gavin Newsom, former mayor of San Francisco, will debut his new show on current television. He joins us now. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be with you.
Listen, not since I did a panel with you in San Francisco, and I had to be right in your airspace. Have I been so excited?
You are too kind, and I'm not sure I'd buy any of that. But I'm honored.
That's true.
Honored to hear you say those wonderful words.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I've been dying to talk to you because you are obviously such a pioneer in marriage equality. How does it feel to have the first sitting president of the United States, you know, finally affirm your views?
Well, I mean, it was a pretty extraordinary thing. And to be candid, I did not expect to hear it before the election. I was hoping to hear it in a second term. Of course, I've been hoping to hear it for years from not just the president, but from other leaders in our party to stand up on principles that we espouse and to match our rhetoric with action. I mean, what the president did was symbolic, certainly. The substance was an affirmation for millions of people who needed to hear those words, whose lives were validated, and there was real substance there. But at the end of the day, the issue where he still needs to go a little farther is the notion of federalizing the issue of equality. We did that with interracial marriage. We've done that with basically everything we've done to advance rights in the broadest term. We need to do that with marriage equality. It cannot ultimately be a state-by-state effort. So I hope to hear those words from him in the second term.
I agree, and I think it was John Lewis that just said that yesterday. So, I mean, I think it has been enormous progress in a short period of time on this issue, don't you think?
No, it's extraordinary. I mean, you know, 8 years ago, I was certainly an outlier when we started providing marriage certificates, almost literally 8 years ago to the month, to thousands of same-sex couples. At the time, the great debate that was raging was still around domestic partnerships, and we were just getting into the debate around civil unions. Civil unions was extreme at the time. Now, of course, civil unions seem to be a safe place for everyone but Mitt Romney, which is absolutely an extraordinary thing to hear Governor Romney now not only not support marriage equality, but also reject the idea of civil unions. He's arguing now for domestic partnerships, which was truly pandering to the past.
Well,
I mean, that's an argument 20 years ago.
And Gavin, worse than that, you know, has signed a pledge to, you know, write discrimination into our Constitution if elected president.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. I mean, here's a guy who says, you know, these 10th Amendment guys, these guys espousing state rights, and here he is. He wants to actually move forward with a federal constitutional amendment to write discrimination into the Constitution. Talk about sidetracking the issue he claims to care about most, the issue of the economy. Imagine the President of the United States saying, I'm following through on one of my singular pledges from a campaign. I signed a pledge and I will actively engage in introducing legislation or supporting legislation to have a constitutional crisis across this country on the issue of same-sex marriage. And then he has the audacity now to claim that the president is using this for political purposes to get us off the most important issue, the economy. Mm-hmm. It's just nonsense.
Gavin, before we move on from this issue, I mean, it's interesting you bring up the politics of it because, you know, obviously, as someone, as you say, that was an outlier on this, you took some criticism back then because people said, oh, this was too soon. We shouldn't have done this now.
Yeah,
they ran this gay bashing campaign and won. How do you feel the politics is going to play this time, or this is going to work or not for the president this cycle?
Well, you know, I've had the warm embrace of Dr. King's words, always the right time to do the right thing. And the reason that's important is because you can always make an excuse for not doing the right thing, because there's always a presidential election, and then there's a midterm congressional election, and then there's an important gubernatorial election, and then there's another presidential election. So there's always an excuse. And it's never the right time if you want to play it safe, but it's always the right time if you want to play to history and you want to stand on principles that make this country as wonderfully extraordinary as it is in contrast to so many others. And so from my perspective, the politics are difficult. I lived and breathed it half for 10 years. Of course, I was criticized mostly from my own party leaders, Democrats, not Republicans, in 2004. To your point that I was moving too fast, too soon, too quick. But, you know, at the end of the day, we had to force the issue and put a human face on it. And I have no regrets because, you know, we were talking in 04 in the abstract. We were talking to a president at the time who was doing exactly what Mitt Romney is claiming he wants to do, and that was George Bush in 04, who was supporting a federal constitution to draft discrimination into the Constitution.
Right.
And that needed to be countered with stories and a narrative of real people's lives.
And, Lieutenant Governor, I mean, interesting, you were one of the people that inspired me since I did that panel with with you. I've come out for the very same reason, that putting a human face on it and trying to move forward. I think that's all we can, you know, we can all do. And I have to say, it's interesting you bring up Dr. King. That's the one thing that helps me feel better is his quote about, you know, the arc of history is long, but it tends to towards justice. And so let's hope that's true. Let's talk quickly about your show, because it's very, very exciting. There's going to be a California touch, obviously. You're going to have people from Silicon Valley, Hollywood, and beyond. Tell us about the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. It's a political show, but I don't want to have too many politicians on the show. I'm, by the way, humbled that you put me on your show this morning, nonetheless.
We are honored.
But it's, you know, I'm all about it. At this stage, what I want to do, and I love your show and I love all the other shows out there, but I want to really focus on what to do, and I want to have a real discussion about that from folks that are not necessarily insiders but outliers in a lot of the debate, from folks that are making difference in every aspect of their lives, the designers, the artists, the entertainers, the folks on the leading cutting edge of new technology, the innovators. At the end of the day, it's a show about, again, not who's to blame but what to do, and we're having a lot of fun with it and a lot of interesting guests, and I'm learning an extraordinary amount about the difficulty of booking talent. That's a whole nother discussion for another show.
Trust me.
But
bagging you is the high point of our morning.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. Seriously.
It's the show debuts tonight on Current TV at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, and we couldn't be more excited about it and to welcome you to the Current family. Thanks so much, Gavin Newsom. Appreciate it.
Thanks, and look out for Lance Armstrong, my first guest.
That's right.
Oh, awesome. Mm. All right. I'll be there tonight. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Take care, guys.
All right. There he goes. Vapors.
Vapors.
Van Jones last night and Gavin Newsom today. My stars. All right. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.